Okay, we'll get this thing started. First of all, let me go over a couple of housekeeping things with our bonuses tonight. The fight of the night was obviously Anthony Pettis and Ben Henderson. That was an absolute war. KO of the night was to Eddie Wineland. And submission of the night was to Shane Roller. I'd also like to thank the Arizona Athletic Commission, Boxing Commission. They did an absolutely outstanding job tonight. Referees were great. Decisions were good. We were very happy with their performance. Obviously, I have Donald Cerrone, Eddie Wineland, Ben Henderson, Dominic Cruz, and Kamal Chalarouz here. Anthony Pettis will be here in just a minute. So let's get started. You guys can ask these guys questions. So open up to the floor. $10,000.
Dominic, I have a question for you. A lot was talked about the pace of the fight and your pace and how it was hard for people to keep up with your pace. How for five rounds are you able to keep that pace and have that endurance through an entire five-round fight?
My coach runs behind me with a car for miles, and I just have no choice but to run or get run over. No, I'm just kidding. No, I just train really hard, man. I put in a 10-week training camp, and everything that I do is just balls to the wall, man. I put all my heart and soul into every training session I've got. And when I'm in camp, I train, go home, sleep. And the reason why I'm sleeping is so that my second practice, I can give 110% of myself to every single training session I have for 10 weeks. I eat, breathe, sleep, drink nothing but MMA for my entire camp so that when I go in there, I'm not missing anything.
Congratulations to the champion who's not here, Anthony Pettis, but forgive me, I'm a Phoenix reporter. Ben, can you put into words, A, what it was like to fight in front of a crowd that you train here in Arizona? Did you hear the chants, and ultimately, how devastating is it to not be able to get it done in front of the hometown crowd?
First off, I was going to say thanks to the WC, Reed Harris, Sean Shelby, are behind the scenes. WC has been a great run, 9 years of long history, putting on some great fights. You guys, reporters, fans, we all know WC does the best job of putting on some fights. I go out there and I try to give you guys my best. All these guys up here do the same thing. WC has been great. Thank you to WC. This is the last show ever. It was great to fight in front of the Glendale. They went out there and they earned it. They had to go vote online to go get it. They earned everything they were given. It was fine. It was good.
I'm sure you have some thoughts for the champ and the kick. I guess you can't really prepare for it.
I don't really remember it. I saw it as I was leaving. It was a great kick. Good job, man. It was a great kick. It'll probably be a highlight reel for a while, huh?
This is for Dominic or maybe Reed. All signs are pointing to a Cruz versus Faber rematch for the belt. Can you say yet if that's in your plans?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something we'll be looking at. When we get back to Vegas, we'll talk to Dana and Lorenzo, and Sean Shelby and Joe Silva will be involved in that. But certainly Dominic wants it, and I think Uriah wants it. So, we'll have to wait and see. I'd like to see that fight.
Yes.
Hey, for Anthony, how you doing? Congratulations, obviously, on the win. Maybe if you can kind of put into words how you're feeling right now and what this win meant to you.
It still doesn't even feel real, man. I mean, this is crazy. Ben Henderson's a great champ. It was his hometown. I mean, he was a tough fight. It was a tough fight, and I hope we put on the show for the last WC.
Obviously, a close fight throughout. What was your mindset going into the final round? Did you feel like it was two rounds apiece, or did you feel like that was a round you had to take?
I thought we were going into the fourth round. I asked my corner, I'm like, we got two more rounds? And like, no, this is the last one. So I'm like, man, I got to give it everything I got this last round. And I came with some crazy stuff, and it paid off.
Yeah, you mentioned the crazy stuff. Obviously, the kick is what everybody's going to be talking about for a long time. You said in the cage afterwards that's something you practice, but to pull off something like that in practice versus the fifth round of a title fight, I mean, what do you see? What's going through your mind at that point when you elect to launch into that?
Just the biggest thing going through my mind was go for it. I mean, I kept thinking, like, man, I got to do something to land. I mean, he was checking on my low kicks, and I couldn't get off. He kept stopping me one or two punches. So I'm like, I got to do something out the box and see what happens. And, I mean, luckily for me, it landed. And, I mean, we'd practice it in camp, like you said, and to do it in the title fight in the last round, it's something different.
And what is the name of that kick?
Showtime kick. We're going to call it the Showtime kick.
All right, good. We got a name.
Anthony, just to ask you a little bit more about that kick, I mean, were you saying, you know, hey, I know I'm down to the end of the round here, end of the fight, and I need to get this? Was that kind of the scoring in your mind at that stage?
No, it was just more of a I wanted to land something. I mean, I couldn't get off. Like I said, I was trying to get off with the 2-1. He kept checking my low kicks, and I'm like, I need to come out the box with something to throw it and maybe get off. I mean, if I wouldn't have landed, I would have tried to follow up with something. And, I mean, luckily for me, the kick landed, and it was an impressive kick.
And Ben, did you go out when the kick landed? Do you know? Did you wake up when your head hit?
No, I was fully aware. I knew I had a hold of his single. It was an inverted single, had it the wrong way. I maybe could have finished if my arm was on the outside, how it traditionally should have been. He did a good job. It's called like a jiu-jitsu crucifix position almost. He did a good job holding me there, raining down some shots from top. I was woozy, obviously. I'm not gonna lie. I did a great job landing the kick, but I was fully cognate.
Have you in fighting ever seen anybody try that? Like, you know, that's kind of such an unusual move that, you know, almost how do you prepare to defend something like that?
I saw it on Mortal Kombat once.
I have a question for Dominic. Dominic, can you talk a little bit about the difference between yourself, Uriah Faber, now versus whenever you guys fought at 45?
It's a different fight, you know, completely. You know, when I first came in, you know, I have no excuses. He beat me fair and square that day. He was a better fighter than me that day. But it's been 3 years, and that was my very first training camp I ever had with my coach, Eric Del Fiero, before that fight. I was still working a full-time job, and now I can devote every ounce of energy into fighting to become the best fighter that I can. And, you know, I just know that I'm a completely different fighter than I was then. You know, my ground game's better, my wrestling's better, my stand-up's better. And I have weapons everywhere. And I just know I'm on another level than him.
Being that you dropped down from 45 to 35 and improved, obviously there's going to be improvements more than likely with Uriah coming down. We've seen him fight once at 35. What did you think of that performance? And also, what do you expect to be improved between his last performance and then a possible fight with you?
You know, he looked good in his last fight. He finished the guy very quickly, you know. But still, I don't think he didn't fight somebody that was at the super top level at 135 at that particular moment. You know, some of the things that he's going to improve on are just basically trying to adjust to my game, you know. And that'll be hard for him because it's hard to find people that move as much as I do. But there's certain things he can do and certain game plans he can come up with. Good luck. I don't know what. But I'll be ready.
Reed, could you talk a little bit about going from, like, the Mohegan Sun in 2001 to this show tonight? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think probably the main thing is this show is profitable. But, no, listen, it's been a great run. You know, to finish the night off with a fight like Henderson and Pettis, I mean, both those guys gave it everything they had. I had it 2-2 going into the fifth round. You know, I had it tied, and you know, I'll tell you what, it was just an outstanding fight. You know, the prelims were absolutely unbelievable, you know. Some of the fighters like Henan Barreo, these guys, these up-and-coming guys that you're going to see in the UFC making a mark, I promise you. All these guys up here are going to make a mark in the UFC, and I couldn't be prouder of them.
Dominic, the critics that you do have, you know, always say, hey, he doesn't get the finishes, but didn't get it tonight, but a masterful performance. Is it disheartening at all when you're not able to get to the finish, or can you take stock in just how dominating the fight was?
I'm always disappointed when I don't get a finish. I am. I mean that. I'm trying to go out there and finish the dude. I almost broke a record with landing punches and kicks. What else can you do? I was trying. I'm fighting the best guys on the planet in my division. And That's basically all I can say. These guys are tough. They're not going down. I dropped the dude. I wobbled him twice. Everybody says I don't hit hard. That's right. I mean, come on. What else do you want me to do? I'm doing what I can. And, you know, I really believe that, yes, that's something I need to improve in my game, and I'm going to. It's everybody evolves as a fighter. Everybody has something they need to get better at. That's the next step for me.
And for Eddie, please, obviously, congratulations. Can you talk about your performance tonight, you know, how things were unfolding until the finish, and then maybe walk us through what you saw during that finish?
Never fought in the WEC before, and I didn't get to see a whole lot of tape on him. I knew he had that would be a left kick, I guess, because he's a southpaw. But the tape that I saw, it looked like a slapping left kick. But anybody who saw the first kick wasn't slapping left kick. I mean, I felt it. I felt all three of them, really. You know, I think I put one on his chin when we had that little exchange, and he felt my power, didn't like it, and jumped guard, tried to guillotine me, and I carried him in my corner. And, you know, I all I saw was rampage in my eyes.
And, I mean, obviously there's a lot of power there, but there's technique as well to get to finish like that out of a slam, right? Can you tell me, you know, kind of what advice you got and how you executed that?
Well, he was going for the guillotine, and my corner was yelling at me to frame away on his face. So I framed away on his face, and I was grabbing behind him so that he couldn't jump off. And, you know, either way he was getting slammed, whether he held on or let go, I was going to slam him one way or another.
And then obviously a bit of a scary moment. I mean, he was down for quite a while. And can you talk about what that does to your mindset? I mean, obviously this is a combat sport, but I know nobody really wants to see their competitor get injured.
Yeah, when it first happened, I mean, I was happy, obviously, because I got the knockout. But then when I realized the seriousness of it, you know, that he still wasn't moving, it worried me, you know. And then I made sure that, you know, later on I got word that he was okay and he was cleared. And, you know, that made the celebration a little bit easier.
Eddie, can you talk a little bit about what you're doing differently, perhaps training camp-wise, mental preparation in the last year or so, give or take, and, you know, over the course of this four-fight streak?
The only ways that my training camp's changed is, I kind of went back to my roots, you know, back with Dunlin Valley Tudo. For anybody who knows, I was training with Miguel for a while, and I needed to branch off from there, and I went back to my roots, training with Dunlin Valley Tudo and getting with Mark Vivas at New Breed. And just working on my composure, staying patient, staying calm, and, you know, just not trying to take people's heads off right away, really picking my shots and making them count.
And obviously we see a lot of guys who are able to just focus on fighting straight out, and that's all that they do. You're still one of the guys that has to do both and hold down a regular job. Is that something you want to continue doing, or do you want to get to the point where you're able to just quit and worry about fighting full-time?
I'm fortunate enough that my job, it allows me the time off for what I do. I'm a full-time firefighter, so, you know, it kind of goes hand-in-hand. You know, while we're at the station, you know, I have my time, and it kind of goes hand-in-hand with what I'm doing. So, you know, as long as I can do it, then I'm going to continue doing that. And if you know, the time comes, then, you know, I'd like to open a gym or, you know, whatever I can do to make my life better.
And, Reed, obviously, we know the stock answer is you'll talk about it on Monday, but where do you see Eddie in terms of the 135 picture?
Hey, he's been on a good run. I mean, that win tonight, that guy that he fought was tough. And we'll talk about it Monday. But I think we have big plans for Mr. Wineland. He's been getting better and better, you know. And every time I watch him, he seems to be growing as a fighter. I mean, you know, that slam was perfectly executed, you know, and you won the fight with that, so.
And to kind of follow up on that, Eddie, I mean, obviously everybody's turning to Dominic and saying, how about Uriah? But, you know, you're a former champion, and you're on a nice run, too. I mean, is there any part of you that says, hey, what about me? I should be in this mix right now, too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the ultimate goal is that hardware. And, you know, again, big congrats to Dominic tonight. He had a great performance. He looked really well, and he performed, you know, top-notch. But, you know, that's my eyes on the prize, and I think had I have not had to pull out the Damasio fight, that would have maybe pushed me a little bit closer. You know, it's an unfortunate event. It happens. But, you know, as long as I keep winning and I keep doing what I'm doing, they can't really deny me the push.
And, Cowboy, could you talk about your fight this evening and, you know, kind of how the performance played out in your mind?
I wasn't exactly thrilled with the fight. I wanted to come out there and you know, I'm a striker, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to beat him at his own game, you know, and I got the win, so I can't complain. You know, I took him down and submitted him with a triangle, but a couple things I did wrong that I need to go back and look at and see why I couldn't finish the triangle in a speedy fashion, you know, and again, just figuring out what I need to do to get to go where I can pull the triggers and get off first.
I know you always talk in your latest fights about getting going quickly and starting out of the gate quickly, but he was really fast with his hands and the combinations going in. Was that more of a product of his approach, or did you feel like this was another fight where you just couldn't get going early on?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably I just couldn't get going. You know, he did push forward and did what he needed to do, but like in the gym, you know, I have no problem getting going. I get in there and put combination together, but in the fight, I just can't seem to put them together. So that's something I need to work on, and I'll go back Monday and figure it out.
Can you take pride, though? You mentioned how much you've been, you know, really working on the wrestling skills and the grappling skills. I mean, is there pride in how you did get the finish tonight?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely pride. And I'm not going to, you know, just scrawn on all of it. But, I mean, my wrestling, I feel, is coming along, you know, and that's one thing I've really been working on. So I guess I got to go really start working on my striking again.
Ben, in the back row, we all know you're a fierce competitor. You hate to lose. What is going on through your mind right now, and what's next for you?
I was talking over a little bit with my coaches, why I lost, what I need to do better. My jab, stepping on the inside, I need to step to the outside. He was a little bit quicker to the punch than me. He did a good job setting up his some of his kicks. Again, I checked some of his kicks, but just all the wrong things I did, what do I need to do better to get my hand raised? There's a lot of things that go into a fight. It's not just, you know, two guys who are really going out there and punching and kicking and stuff. There's a science behind it. And I'm going to figure it out, and I will get my hand raised next time.
Reed, you had a who's who of USC, including the heavyweight champ, on our lone rainy night that we get in Phoenix a year. How were your impressions of? You mentioned it being a profitable night. This city's been starving for this kind of entertainment, and now with the UFC, will that be something to address, and are you happy with what you achieved here tonight and look forward to more fights here in Phoenix?
Yeah, we were certainly happy. You know, the city itself responded very well to us, the media. This week, I mean, we did two things this morning from the cage with a local TV station. Ben and I, a few weeks ago, did an anti-bullying campaign, and then we had the Ben Henderson rally, which was not only successful but gratifying in the fact that we got to work with some of the younger kids and talk to them about what's going on. I'm extremely happy with Phoenix. And I got to mention that, you know, being from Chicago, to have Jim McMahon show up to my show was like I didn't know what to do with myself. I kind of got the camera warmed up, and I think I took like three pictures with him. So that Jim McMahon is the man, all you people out there from Phoenix, all right? All right.
Okay. Hey, Anthony, what are your thoughts on the Edgar Maynard fight, and which one would you rather face in the UFC title?
I really haven't had time to think about Edgar Maynard. I was fighting Ben Henderson. That's all I've been focusing on is Ben, and I mean, I'm going to go back home Monday, and we'll figure out both styles, and whoever wins the fight, I mean, I'm going to have to fight either one of them. I think I'll fight both of them eventually. You know, I want to be the best in the world, and that's the place to do it at.
To Kamal, please. Obviously, congratulations on your win. Can you evaluate your performance tonight and talk about, you know, your game plan, Steven?
Well, my game plan was just strike and take him down and ground and pound him. Bart, he's a very experienced fighter. He's a good striker, but I have a good striking too. And I dominate him first round, and I could finish him first round, but a little slow down. And it was a good fight.
Obviously, you've had some very entertaining fights in WC, but you have showed a little tendency to slow down in the later rounds. So do you know what to attribute that to? Is it, you know, the training? Is it the atmosphere? What is it?
Training.
You think you need to increase the training?
Yes. I have a new camp now, and I have a new coaches and new training partner. So in next show, I will show much better.
And obviously, have you had a chance to look toward the USC and maybe feel how you fit into that division there?
Yeah, of course. Of course, I'm going to miss WC, but UFC is a big challenge for me. I'm ready for any challenge.
Dominic, I wonder if you can talk about when Reed put the belt, he put the one over your shoulder and the other one around your waist. You had the UFC belt. What was that moment like for you when you were introduced as not just the WEC champion, but the UFC champion?
I still don't know what to think about it, to be honest. It hasn't set in, you know? Like, it's just surreal. It really is. Like, you hear that a lot, but it really is surreal. It's a surreal moment. It's something you dream about. when you're coming up, just barely starting this sport. 5 years ago when I was starting it, I was 19 years old, and I was like, I'm going to fight in the UFC, you know. Thank God for the WC came along and started a division that I could actually fight in, so I didn't have to fight monsters like Ben and Showtime at 155. You know, so thank God for the WC. They brought me up. I was able to get better and improve because of the fighters in my division in the WC. And now I've been able to have the opportunity to win the UFC championship, you know. It's awesome. There's no words to explain it. It's a dream come true. Thank God every day for it. You know, that's a true statement. And thank you, WC.
Donald, if I can ask you, the fact that this was the last WEC card and, you know, it seemed like everybody maybe had a little extra motivation, did it affect you? Did you want to perform a little bit more just because of the significance of, you know, the last night in the long, glorious run of the WEC?
I'm going to go and fight my ass off every time. So, I mean, not being the last, I'm going to try to make a better fight. You know, I'm going out there to fight my ass off every single time. So, but it's been a good run, and I think WEC helped brand my name, made Cowboys who he is today, and I'm very appreciative. I'm glad I could go out there and get a finish for him.
And, you know, I'm going to mention that the person to thank for Cowboy being in the WC was Charles, who called me and said, you got to come check this dude out. Started sending me pictures of you and emails and all that, and I couldn't – I mean, we signed him, and it was – what a great find, you know.
And a question for you after, you know, I was sitting with you during Eddie's fight when Eddie had that slam, and I know you were concerned right away, but
right.
When you walked out of the cage and you knew he was going to be okay, and you had, what, 4 first-round knockouts, I think, in 5 fights. I mean, right. Now you're saying we're going out beyond what I could have even expected. Everybody was saying that WBC had the greatest cards, and then you're going out with maybe one of your greatest cards you ever had.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I talked to the fighters last night, and I had a sense that These guys have always come through for me, every time. And even the winners, the losers, it doesn't matter. They get in there and they let it hang out. They don't lay around. You know, they're always going for it. And tonight was really just kind of the pinnacle of that, you know. And, yeah, after Eddie's win, I was concerned. But and I'm happy to report he's back at the hotel and he's fine, so.
Cowboy, do you do you have anyone that you want to fight in the UFC? Is the Cole Miller thing something you really want to pursue? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the fight I want. That's the fight I've wanted once I made my foot in the UFC since, you know, I can remember. So the Cole Miller fight is definitely who I'm chasing down.
Why?
He beat Leonard Garcia about 3.5 years ago when I was there. I was no one then. I just had about 5 fights, and I remember Cole was kind of blah, 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 and I said, all right, motherfucker, I got you, so.
The swearing thing obviously doesn't apply to the press conference, so.
And, Reed, can you tell me tonight is obviously got to be bittersweet for you. Are you going to celebrate tonight? Are you going to go home and have just a family time? Or what are you going to do tonight?
No, I think I'm going to go out. I'm happy that, yeah, the whole – no, I don't drink, but the whole event, you know, the – week leading up and then the event, like I said, it's historic. I mean, this was one of the best events we ever put on. Obviously, Anthony Pettis, you know, finishing up with a move like that. I know that Dana and Lorenzo both were texting, like, oh, my God, what was that? And, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to make those guys feel good about the WEC, and I think we did that tonight. So I'm very happy.
A couple of questions for Dominic. Dominic, you were quoted about a week before the fight, at least that's when I saw it, that you had problems with your hand and that you were going to have surgery after this fight. Can you talk about the hand and whether surgery is scheduled or whether you think you're still going to need surgery?
You know, I work for the UFC basically now, you know, WC before, and, you know, I pretty much do what I'm told. But at the same time, excuse me, at the same time, you know, I've been going into these last 2 fights with a hand injury that needs to be addressed so that I can continue to fight at the level that I'm fighting, because it's something that's just going to get worse if I don't get it taken care of. So, you know, I'll know by Monday. I'm going to talk to my camp, talk to whoever I need to talk to with the UFC, WC, and get my hand checked out, and that will be known pretty soon.
One of the hot topics right now is who's going to coach on Tough, and Dana's already said it's not going to be Chael and Vandalay. Said he was going to wait until Friday, which is the day after your fight. You won. There's bad blood with you and Uriah. If you were offered a coaching position on Tough against Uriah, would you be able to do that? Would the hand get in the way, and would you accept it?
I would accept it very much, and I'd be stoked. And it'd be awesome because I'd get my loss back. And, you know, an opportunity like that, I might have to deal with the hand again. But like I said, I'll get my hand checked out, you know, and I'll take it stride by stride, talk to my camp, my coaches. They want what's best for me, and I want what's best for the longevity of my career as well. And this is just something that needs to get taken care of, and I've known it because it's been bothering me. So, but everybody goes into fights. Every one of us goes into fights with injuries. It's something that's just part of the sport. So I've been blessed and been able to tolerate it.
And question for Anthony. Anthony, your relationship with your dad and losing your dad and how that's impacted your career, it's been well chronicled, both in MMA media, World of Jenks. Can you talk about winning the belt and how that ties into the motivation your dad's given you over the years?
It's just it's a dream come true, man. My dad was with me all throughout my martial arts career. When he died, I stopped doing martial arts for a while. And I found MMA and Duke Rufus, Pat Barry. These guys bought me in. They were like a family to me, man. And, I mean, it's just something that I carry with me to every fight. My dad gave me my competitive edge, and I bring him on my hoodie to every fight. And I feel close to him doing this. And this is just getting this belt is just put the icing on the cake for him, man. It's just, I can't wait to go back to his grave and show him the belt.
Okay. Another question? All right.
Take this, guys. Take one more.
Anthony, your thoughts of coming into this hostile environment and during the fight, you're hearing the crowd chant Ben's name. Did that motivate you even more? What was going on through your mind through that whole time?
I mean, I really don't let the crowd get to me. I made the mistake of, earlier in my career, letting the crowd get to me, and this time I made sure I had one task, and that was getting my hand raised at the end of the fight. Ben's a great fighter. He's a likable guy, man. He's just one of them guys that you just got to like, and of course he's going to have fans in his home crowd, and I knew that was going to be like that coming into there, and I just kind of blocked him out, listened to my corner, and just secured the win.
Ready for the last question?
Okay, let me... Yeah, one more, Adam. Go ahead.
I think when the fans see a good fighter and they love the fight, I mean, no matter what, they're always fight fans. And I mean, we both fought our asses off in that cage, man. And we gave it everything we got, and we got fight of the night. So of course, they're gonna cheer for the whole fight.
Okay, just a few closing words for me. I want to thank some people. First of all, I want to thank the staff at WC, Melissa Hendricks, Sean Shelby, Frank Carreri, Peter Dropik, who's been my partner in running WC, and you just couldn't work with a better person. Dave Schaller, the best PR guy in the business, actually. And? Who?
And your coffee guy.
Oh, that's Dave Schaller, coffee guy, right. Cowboy keeps calling him, has been calling him my assistant for like a year, and I think it bothers him. But I'd also like to obviously thank my family, my wife, Laura. You know, there were a lot of ups and downs doing this over the last 10 years. There were a lot of nights that I was out, you know, putting these things together, doing these shows, traveling. She supported me the whole way, you know, my kids, everybody. So as far as my family's concerned, I really appreciate their support. And for you guys, the media, who have really become friends of mine, and I really feel like we're all going down the same path with the sport, you know. You guys want to see it succeed just like I do, and a night like tonight goes a long way to that. Lastly, I'd like to thank the guys at Tap Out. You guys are the best. You always have my back, and you're my brothers. All right. So... with that, a couple of announcements. Tomorrow, the fight between Menjivar and Brad Pickett will be available on Versus.com for free. So please get that out so the fans can see it, because that was a great fight. And then also on UFC.com this weekend, we'll be running some of the prelim fights that didn't get on TV, so people have a chance to watch them. And with that, guys, thanks.